Hello, everyone, and welcome to Words on a Wedding, the podcast that sees me, your host, Annie Bisher, interview my wonderful guests about their big day. Together, we talk all things proposals, planning, the ceremony, the fashion, the first dance, and beyond. No wedding-related stone is left unturned. So whether you're planning your own wedding, you simply love wedding chat, or like me, you're a not-so-newlywed who just can't let that wedding world go, hit subscribe on Words on a Wedding, play on the episode, and get stuck in. Today, I'm joined by Alice Living, personal trainer, best-selling author, podcast host, and influencer. Her podcast, Give Me Strength, sees Alice interview well-known guests about the importance of physical and mental resilience. There'll be a new season for you to get stuck into soon. And her fitness app, by the same name, offers a 360-degree approach to well-being. Alice got married this summer, a chic London wedding in May, followed by a beautiful countryside affair later that month. And we're here to get granular about the lot. Alice, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. What a treat to get to talk about my wedding. I mean, and my friends are all bored of me talking about it now. So I was like, how exciting that I can come on and actually get into it.
It's the best invitation, isn't it? It's such a joyful thing to talk about.
Exactly.
We will kick off. First of all, as always, who did you marry and how did you meet?
So my husband is called Paddy. And we met on a dating app way back in the day when they were pretty new. It was actually one, I don't think it exists anymore. So it was called Happn. And the structure of it was that if you walked past someone, they would like flag up on your app and then you could decide whether you wanted to talk to them. And I was publishing my book at the time. So I never normally spend time like in the city. I was working as a personal trainer in South Kensington, but I happened to be at my publisher's who were in London Bridge. Walked past him clearly. I don't remember it, but he flashed up and I was like, oh, interesting. It actually took us a couple of months to even properly speak. Like we both sort of matched each other, but I was really busy at the time. And I think he was as well. And yeah, we took a few months to like meet, but yeah, the rest is history.
Where did you go on your first date?
So at this time, I was 23, so I was quite young, and I was living in my boss's flat on the King's Road, which for those of you that don't live in London, it's quite like a chic part of London, but there was no way I'd ever be able to afford to live there. It just so happened that the boss of the gym that I was working in was like, oh, I have a spare room in my flat and you can live there. So I felt so cool because I was like living on the King's Road. And so I said to Paddy, I was like, I actually live on the King's Road, so we can go for coffee if you want, like on the King's Road. Felt so like London. And so we met for coffee on the King's Road. And the hilarious thing, and this is actually brought up at our wedding, was I made Paddy come and do my food shop with me after our first date. I was like, I need to go to Waitrose and get some food. And he was like, I'll come with you. And I basically made him carry my food shop home. So yeah, we had a great start.
And so now we're fast forwarding how many years to the proposal?
So we met in 2016 and we got engaged in December 2022. So I think it was about six or seven years.
Plenty of time to plan a good one. How did it go?
So, I mean, if you ask my mom, I'd been desperate to propose for Paddy to propose to me for a long time. I think I was ready to marry him after like 3 years. I think I was a little bit delulu with all of that. But but then Paddy is very different to me in the sense that like I'm quite impulsive and I do things quite quickly and I'm quite set on what I want. And I'm not afraid to like, you know, make a decision quite quickly on stuff. Whereas Paddy is the kind of guy who'll like go into a shoe shop and try on a pair of shoes that he absolutely loves. And he'll be like, oh, I'll come back because I just need to see if there's anything else around. And like, I'll make a decision in 2 years' time. So he's very different to me. So it definitely took him a lot longer to come around to the idea of like proposing. And I know that I like bored him to death with being like, so getting married. I think that like when it came down to how we actually got engaged, I couldn't have wanted it to be any better. I was taken completely by surprise. I was sure that it wasn't going to happen because it was a Monday near December. It's like, the 19th of December it was. It was a Monday. It was raining. It was a horrible day. And like we went to the gym in the morning, I came back and what had happened was is that Paddy had messaged my team and cancelled my day of work. So I had things on that I was supposed to be doing and he'd like cancelled something or like messaged and or something had happened and he had something cancelled. So I suddenly had like a free day and I was like, do you know what? Well, my day seems to have become completely free. I'm going to get myself a pedicure. So like I booked this like at home pedicure. So I had nice toes for Christmas and Paddy is like pacing around the flat, like really weirdly cleaning the flat, doing weird stuff. I'm like, this boy is behaving weirdly today, but didn't think anything of it. And I'm getting my pedicure. He keeps coming in and being like, how much longer are you going to be? And when I get someone come and do my toes, like, or, you know, nails or whatever, I chat to them all day. Like we're here for hours. Like sometimes it can take like, cause I'm just like, oh, I know everything about your life. Anyway. So he's like kept asking me how long the pedicure is going to be. Eventually I finish. And then it's like, he's like a coiled spring. He was like, I need to ask you something. And I was like, right. I'm literally stood there in like my sweaty gym kit. I've got no makeup on, look an absolute hot mess. And then he was like, oh, there's something for you under the Christmas tree. And then there it was. And so, yeah, I was taken completely by surprise. I was at home, which is what I wanted. I didn't want it to be in front of anyone. Like I would have been so embarrassed to have like a public proposal. Yeah, it was just really special. And it was just us. And then what he'd actually done was planned like a surprise engagement party that evening with like all my friends and family that came to that. So that was really nice.
That's gorgeous. And the epitome of just a beautiful private moment. But you're such a public figure. Was there any temptation to engineer it so that it was a bit more showy at any point?
No, absolutely not. I'm going to be honest, I couldn't think of anything worse. Like Paddy and I's relationship has always been fairly private. He does not want to be on Instagram. Like I sometimes I'm like, please let me post one photo. So I really couldn't think of anything worse than having my proposal like filmed or, you know, photographed or anything for the public. In fact, I just love that actually like that most special memory is completely undocumented. And I just have it as like a, you know, a nice thing that I can remember as it was.
And then you'd been thinking about this wedding though for a bit. Am I right?
You could say that.
We've all done it. I did it. Mine was Pinterested up to the hilt. What vision did you have for it? Did you know how you wanted it to go? Do you know that you wanted that chic London wedding to start off with and then a bigger day later? Or did you very much come to it with fresh eyes together?
Yeah. So I actually was like a real open book in terms of what I wanted. The only thing that I knew I didn't want was I didn't want an abroad wedding for a few reasons. I think I didn't want to put any extra burden on our guests. I know this is a completely controversial subject, but for me personally, I didn't want anyone to be paying a lot of money to come and, you know, come and enjoy my wedding. And we wanted it to be a maximum of 2 hours from London for that reason, or from, because that's most of my family live in or around London. And so our kind of rule was people should be able to like get in the car and drive there, and there should be affordable accommodation, you know, for different budgets around. So that was kind of the only actual things that we had like set in stone. It was very serendipitous in that I actually stole my wedding venue from a guy that works for me. So it's a funny story, but basically my videographer who works full-time on the app, Adam, he is also a wedding videographer. So on the weekends, he goes and does these beautiful weddings. He's amazing, by the way. Like if anyone's listening and they need a videographer, he's incredible. But he had done a wedding at Kin House, was like, wow, this is the most amazing venue I've ever seen. Booked it for his wedding, was telling me about it and was like, oh, we've booked it at this venue. And I was like, oh my God, this was before I was engaged, by the way. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, it looks incredible. Didn't think I was going to get engaged anytime soon. In fact, I remember saying to him at the time, it's going to be a hell of a long time until I even get to like think about that. Obviously then got engaged. And of course, like I'm not an awful person. I ran it past him and was like, would you mind? Because we ended up going to view it. And just on the day, we're like, this is like perfect. I mean, I loved everything about Kin House from like the moment I arrived. They were so nice and so welcoming, and it didn't feel conveyor beltery or anything like that, which I really didn't want. It felt like a home, like, you know, it felt like someone's house, and the decor is amazing. And so I remember just coming away from that, and we'd actually had a second booking that we were due to go to that afternoon. And I just rang them and said, I'm really sorry, we found our venue, like we're done. So once we had the venue set, then I was like, I kind of have an idea of roughly what I want it to look like. And I think once that was done, then everything started to come into like vision in terms of like the idea of what we wanted. And the only reason why we had a London wedding was because we couldn't have sort of an official wedding at Kin House. And I just didn't want some, actually I like, I mean, you can, but we didn't want just some random person from the council sort of rocking up and us not, you know, knowing them and then being part of that like really big, important day. So we were like, do you know what we'll do? You know, we met on the King's Road. So it's quite nice that we then got married on the King's Road and did like a very like small London wedding, which meant that we, you know, could keep that a little bit more informal for that actual wedding bit, because I sort of known that I wanted like a celebrant to do a really special ceremony for us on the day. So yeah, that's why we had the London wedding.
And so you've got Kin House as your keystone. That's where all the rest of your plans spring off from. What was the favourite part of your planning from that point?
Oh, I mean, I really enjoyed all of the planning. I am blessed in the sense that I'm not a stressy person. So I didn't really feel stressed at all the entirety of my wedding journey. Now, I also have to caveat that was saying I did have a wedding planner who was amazing. She was just like phenomenal. I was going to say my favorite part of the wedding was working with her, but she was great. And she made it so easy and special. And in fact, I've actually got a podcast episode with her. If anyone wants to have a listen, she's great. But
what's her name?
Oh, sorry. I should have said her name. She's called Alice Wilkes.
Perfect.
So we were Alice squared, and the power of Alice is huge.
I love that.
So I think actually like thinking about the ceremony was really special. We had a celebrant called Nat Raybould, who I also highly recommend, who is the most flamboyant, amazing woman. And when we started working with her, I think that because neither of us are were wanting to have a religious ceremony, like a typical religious ceremony, let's say, we wanted something that therefore was still serious enough for it to feel like a wedding and like a proper ceremony, but that kind of, I guess, better represented who we are and what we believe in and what we wanted it to be. So she was really great at helping us to create that. And the ceremony was so memorable. Like I just found like, I don't know, some of my favorite bits are from then, you know, like we got loads of people involved and it wasn't super long, which I didn't want. I didn't want this like long, boring ceremony. But it was like enough that I felt like it was really special to us, and we wrote our own vows and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It was just really lovely. So I'd say that was probably up there with one of my favorite things. And the food tasting, I mean, that was like the best.
It's always one of the best things. But coming back to your King's Road wedding, talk me through that and what you did on the day and how you made that special.
When I say I was unprepared for this wedding, I was unprepared. Like, I'm not a stressed person, but I'm also quite a last minute person. And so like, I found my dress the day before the wedding. Like I went shopping and found my dress on the morning of the Friday before the Saturday wedding and went straight to a tailor, had it tailored within like 2 hours and was like, oh yeah, this'll do. So I was quite unorganized.
Did it feel okay though? Were you frazzled at that moment, or was that just like, yeah, sure, that works?
I think because I'd been thinking about the main wedding and I'd been very organized with that. Like I had my dress in preparation with Emma for like months. I just had sort of put the London wedding on the back burner. It didn't feel like as momentous to me. Obviously it was like incredibly special, but it wasn't as much of a priority. And I just was like, no, it'll be fine. And also one of the things that Paddy and I did was he was much more in charge of the London one. He sorted, you know, most things for that. And I was doing the Kin House one a bit more. So that was kind of how we found it helpful to split it. But we stayed at Claridge's the night before, which was really nice. I mean, a huge treat, but it was just like amazing waking up there. I just felt like I was like living in the Princess Diaries. I was like, oh my God. And they very kindly upgraded us, which I mean, it's still not cheap, but I booked the cheapest room there. And I think they knew we were getting married because one of the girls from the team had like followed me on Instagram or something. And we got an upgrade, and I like would never, ever stay in a suite at Claridge's in my life. But I was like, this is so special. It was so nice because it was like the night before our wedding, Paddy and I just went to this like really nice dinner. you know, chatted about everything, woke up the next morning together, and then we're like, oh my gosh, we're getting married today. Got a black taxi to the King's Road. And then it was just like my closest family. So it was my family, Paddy's family, and my grandparents, and then like our two best friends. So it was very small and really lovely. I found the whole thing quite overwhelming because I was just like, I'd not even thought about it. Like, I thought so much about our ceremony for our kin house wedding that when this guy came in and was like, who do you want to walk you down the aisle? And I was like, I don't know. So I ended up just walking down with Paddy, and I just laughed because I was like, this is so weird. But it was nice. It was really nice. It was over so quickly, and it was lovely. And then we just booked like a local pub that had like a little private room, and had a lunch there. And then all our friends that were like in our bridal party, so like bridesmaids, groomsmen, came to join afterwards, and we all just got a bit drunk really, and it was great.
Ideal. And at that point, you're mere weeks away from your kin house wedding, and we have to talk about that show-stopping Emma Beaumont wedding dress. Did you yes. always know you'd be approaching Emma for that? Did you know you'd be going bespoke?
So no, in fact, actually, and funny enough, I was talking about this the other day to someone who's getting married, and I think so often it happens, doesn't it, that you think you have this like distinct vision of what you want. And I had always thought I wanted a Monique Lhuillier dress. That was like, I'd seen them online and I was just like, they are like, wow, that's what I want. And I'd wanted actually this one with maybe some flowers on it, because I was like, that would really fit kin house. And it had these big puffy sleeves. And I went to an unnamed, I'll say, bridal shop and tried it on and was like, I could not like look worse. It just did nothing for me. I remember all my bridesmaids were there, and they were just like, yeah, I don't think it's the one, you know, I'm not so sure. And it was sad because I was like, oh God, I had this distinct idea of this being like the perfect dress. Even though I remember the morning of waking up being like, oh my God, I'm going to try on this amazing dress. And just had this vision of looking like a certain way, and it just didn't come together. And I actually ended up trying on a lot of dresses in a lot of places. Well, actually, compared to some people, more recently I've seen people have tried on like so many dresses, but I went to like three or four places and just never really found the one. I found stuff that was nice, but not like me feeling like, oh, this is my dress. And basically what happened was I tried on a dress that I was like, I love the silhouette, but I hate everything else about it. So I had seen Emma ages ago online, you know, when someone like pops up as like a recommended thing, had completely forgotten about her. And I think it was at this point that I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm actually going to find exactly what I want unless I make it bespoke. My thinking being, gosh, Emma's going to be like through the roof pricing and I'm never going to be able to afford it. And so just contacted her on a whim and was like, oh, this is, you know, what I'm after. Can I come and see you? For those who don't know, Emma Beaumont is based up in Knutsford, which is in Cheshire. So it was like a real commitment of a journey. But from the moment I met her, I was like, I can't imagine anyone else like working, like designing or working on my wedding dress. She is probably one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And I have met a lot of nice people, but she just has like this amazing energy. In fact, one of the things that I was really sad about was like, I was so happy about getting married, but I was like, I'm never going to be able to see Emma again. Because I just thought she was just so special. And she's not zhuzhy and fancy. You walk in and like her mum works with her and it feels so special, but like home. Yeah, you feel so comfortable. And the girls who will work with her are like local girls. And it's like the most amazing experience. And like I remember I went with Chessie King to my first appointment, just kind of told her my ideas, showed her one picture and another picture. And she just sat there, got this sketch thing out, drew this like sketch and was like, so what do you think of that? And I was like, oh my gosh, like that's my dress. And it was amazing. So off the back of that, obviously I then made the commitment to go with her, knew that she would have, you know, capability to make exactly what I wanted. And there were, you know, she very much said to me and briefed me in that first appointment and said, you know, there's going to be sort of 7 or 8 appointments that you'll have to come to, so we can tweak along the way. And if it's not quite right, we've got so many opportunities to make it, you know, exactly what you want. So yeah, I sort of felt very comfortable in just completely trusting her with the process, because the hard thing is that with Emma, you don't get to try on a dress until your dress is finished, really. So you have to have faith that she is going to make what you want. And obviously a drawing isn't trying on your like dream wedding dress, is it? It's a real leap of faith. But if you're prepared to trust her, which I absolutely did, then it's so worth it, because like I could not have been happier with my dress. I just think that she is a real talent. Like, she's amazing.
How did you feel when you put on the finished article for the first time?
So, I mean, it was funny because we were literally making tweaks to the dress up until that final appointment. So even when I went on my last appointment with my mom and we were sort of getting, you know, in my head, it was supposed to be like completely finished. And then we put it on and there were a few things where I was like, oh, not sure about this, oh, this. So really, everything was being changed right up until the moment where they packed it away and I went. And I probably spent about 6 hours there in total on the last day, like doing tweaks, which is all part of her process, by the way. That's not being at me being like a real fussy person. It's she does that a lot. But yeah, it was a long day. And I guess her thing is that she's a perfectionist and she wants it to look exactly right. And, you know, so am I. So it was like just a little bit of back and forth, but really I felt amazing. And I felt like me, you know, like wearing a wedding dress is a weird thing, isn't it? You know, like you wear this like big, for most people, like this big dress and there's so much pressure on it, like being the most beautiful you've ever looked and like all of this stuff. And I think it's a lot of pressure for people. I think that like that can be really overwhelming. And I just want to encourage anyone that if they don't have that moment where they're like, oh my God, wow, I look amazing. Like don't panic, because it's okay. It's very overwhelming. And even I was like, oh gosh, I don't even know how to react. Like I kind of thought, oh, maybe I should have cried, but I didn't, because I don't know. But I just felt like it looked like me and I felt like me and I felt really comfortable in it. I felt I could move in it. I felt like I just, yeah, I was really like happy in wearing it. And I think that was the most important thing.
And that was the dress. I'm going to call it the dress. But you had other bridal looks across your wedding weekend, yes, didn't you? So talk me through those.
I know, it's ever so indulgent, isn't it? But
if not, then when?
So the night before we had a welcome drinks and I wore a white floral Zimmermann dress. Now I am a huge Zimmermann fan and I just adore their dresses. And I'd always had my eye on this dress and had like a look at it. I was like, maybe not. But I think because Kin House is so floral and country and that kind of vibe, I just thought I tried so many other things on and I thought I can't find anything else that's quite right. And I ordered it and tried it on the first time. I was like, this is it. I found my dress. And then I did have a second look from Emma. That was a real journey, that dress. I mean, nobody knows this, but like the dress it started off having sleeves. It started off being silver with these like big stud sequins all over it. Like it was a completely different dress. And we went through many iterations with it. And in the final appointment on that day that I spent 6 hours there, we actually ended up ripping off the sleeves because the sleeves just didn't work. They weren't fully finished. They were like put on and we were going to sew them on, but I couldn't lift my arms up. And I was like, if this is my dancing dress, that's a bit of a flaw, isn't it? That I can't raise my arms. I'd just be dancing like a soldier with my arms by my side. So anyway, we took the sleeves off. Great decision. And it was kind of in this amazing, like quite heavy beaded fabric, which was beautiful. And I was so happy with that dress. And it was like really nicely corseted and everything. So I felt amazing in it. Did I have any other looks? I don't think so. I think that was it. And then my civil ceremony dress, obviously, which was from Self Portrait.
And hair and makeup, who were your glam squad? How did you decide on your look?
So I had kind of known for a long time who I wanted to use for my hair and makeup, because I'd followed her on Instagram for a long time and I just thought she was like amazing. And thankfully, in my nature of my work, sometimes I get to go to like events and stuff where I can use hair and makeup artists. And I actually ended up using her for an event actually a couple of years before I got married, and was like, this is the lady that I want to do my hair and makeup. Now, I will say it was mostly based off not just looking at her Instagram, but her energy. I should actually say her name, shouldn't I? I'm really bad at doing this. Her name's Bo. Her Instagram is Botias, B-O-T-I-A-S, I think hair and makeup. But she is an incredibly calm person. She has this like very chilled energy. And when I worked with her on that event, you know, a few years before getting married, I remember thinking, not only is she brilliant, and I looked that like, I loved my makeup that she did, and I loved, she does hair and makeup. But I also found that like, I love energy and I love that she felt very calming. So she was the person that I decided to go with. And I came to the hair pretty easily because I sort of knew that I wanted something that kind of mimicked the dress in terms of the style. And I knew that I didn't want it all up because I don't really suit that, but like a half up sort of style. And then for my makeup, we did do quite a lot of back and forth on it just because I think that I really like now, I never really use makeup artists anymore because I really like doing my own makeup. And I actually toyed with the idea of doing it myself on my wedding day, but Bo, you can only book her if she does both. So I was like, oh, I might as well just have my makeup done. And also she is brilliant. But I think when you have a very distinct style, you want to look like you. And what was great was like, she completely listened to that. And so we did loads of tweaks to really make sure that I felt exactly like myself, you know, that there wasn't anything that I wouldn't normally do or wouldn't normally wear. And that it was like very much an enhanced version of me day to day, rather than it being some like big glamorous look that I felt quite, you know, weird wearing. So makeup wise, we kept it pretty simple, like loads of skin. I loved skin prep and glowy and a bit of a pinky lip, but that was it. And then jewelry wise, I was actually very kindly loaned. I sat next to serendipitously like this woman from Boodles at a dinner, and she was like, oh, I'll loan you some jewelry for your wedding. And I was like, oh my gosh, amazing. So they very kindly loaned me some beautiful diamond earrings and a few other bits for the wedding weekend, which was really lovely.
Gorgeous. And did you have a wedding perfume?
Yes. This is a sneaky admission because this perfume is like my best kept secret. And I will tell you what it is. But basically, Emma Beaumont, her studio is in a place called Knutsford. If you've never been there, it's probably one of the most beautiful towns I've ever been to. It's stunning. On the high street where her shop is, there's this random perfume shop. And in between one of my appointments, I think the second to last appointment, me and my mum had like a load of time to kill while they were doing some sewing on the dress. So we were like, oh, we'll wander up and down the high street, went into this perfume shop, tried this perfume that came in a white bottle with an A on it. I was like, oh, I've got to try that. My name's Alice. Like, it's a white perfume. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. I sprayed it on myself, went away, didn't buy it straight off. And I was like, this fragrance is perfect. I love it. Went back the next time I was there and I was like, I've got to get it. I mean, it is an arm and a leg. And I'm embarrassed saying that I even spent that much on perfume, but perfume is expensive, you know, but it was very expensive. It's a very special fragrance, but it's by a brand called Pantheon, who are only stocked in Harrods and this perfume shop in the UK. So it's quite niche. It was, oh my God, I love it. And actually I've asked Paddy to get me a bottle for Christmas because I was like, I'm without my fragrance and I love it so much. So yeah, it's A by Pantheon.
Okay, I'm Annie. I'm going to have to get a hold of this bottle too.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah.
What does it smell like? What grabbed you?
So I quite like quite oody masculine scents. So it is a little bit oody, but not overly so. It does have some like sweetness to it as well, but I'm not good with all the notes of perfumes, but yeah, that's the main one.
Okay, I'm going to get my hands on it somehow. And you spoke about, you know, the love of a glow and your love of skincare. Did you put any effort into any treatments, or did you treat yourself to anything in the lead up to your wedding and use it as a sort of an excuse to go all out?
I was actually really good at not going overboard on treatments. I think I know that my skin type, and I've learned this over the years, my skin type is that it is very sensitive and very easily irritated. And as someone who had previously been on Accutane, I think my biggest fear was like, you know, irritating my skin barrier and then having breakouts near the wedding. I see Alice Henshaw at Harley Street Injectables for a few things, and I only really trust her with my like facials and stuff. So they do a facial called, I think it's like the red carpet facial. It's very minimal. It's like a little bit of kind of dermaplaning, is it called, where they just take the fluff off your skin, a little bit of that, a little bit of kind of a peel, but a very light peel, nothing crazy. You know, I didn't walk out looking like crazily red. It was just a very, very light peel. And then LED mask, it was like fairly minimal. And actually the girl Hazel who does it there is really nice. And I would definitely recommend her. Yeah, Alice did all my kind of like tweakments, and I had a bit of Botox, and I also had Botox in my armpits because my dress was long sleeved and I was so worried about having a fake tan and then like sort of sweating onto my dress, which was a really good tip. And Alice was like, I didn't go for that, but she suggested, you know, have you thought about this? It's quite common amongst brides. And it meant that I just didn't sweat at all from my armpits onto my dress, which was a good tip. But yeah, that was all I had.
I've spoken to her about that. She gets so many people coming in for that treatment. It's such an under the radar fix. But I also love her setup there. It feels so bridal. It's just beautiful, gleaming, white, everything.
Anytime I go and see her, I just love her, her vibe, her ambition. Like she's a real like go-getter. She treats, I can't tell you how many of my friends she now treats. Like she does my mom. She does one of my best friends. No, two of my best friends, a girl that works with me. Like I send everyone to her. And they're like, guys, you need to go to Alice. She's the best. She's amazing. And I love supporting her as well, because I've been going to her for, you know, a long time. So I really like her. But yeah, I only see her for Botox. And I think that for me, anyway, I know everyone's different, but I personally like that look, and it was something that I wanted. I know everyone has different choices on that, but for me, I enjoy just having a little bit of that, and I think she's great at doing it.
So talk me through your big party at Kin House. So what was the atmosphere like in the morning? What did you do? How did it go right up until that carriages at, I was going to say midnight, but 3 a.m.
Oh gosh, I think it was later than that. Lewis ended up sleeping on a camp. Yeah, my best friend ended up sleeping on a camp bed in some random. Oh yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. Although actually, I say that, I make it sound like I stayed up till that time. I didn't. I went to bed at about 3, but I know that others were going on until later. But okay, vibe. So we had the party the night before, which was like a welcome drinks, dinner. We did a buffet. We had, and that was for all family, ushers and bridesmaids. So it ended up being about like 75 people, something like that. So still quite big. But it was really nice. Like it was a beautiful evening. There was an amazing sunset. Like the sky was like pink. It was incredible. We just had really nice food, few drinks, like sat outside, which was nice. And there were some like lawn games, and it was nice. I love the idea, and I love weddings that I go to where you have like the night before to kind of get to know other people from the wedding. Cause I think it's really nice when you go to a wedding and you're like, oh, like you can kind of, you know, like get to know people. And I love that. So I loved that we were able to do that. On the day of the wedding, we woke up. I shared a bed with my best friend, Lewis, the night before. I made a joke of saying that not many people can say confidently that they shared a bed with a different man the night before their wedding. but I shared a bed with him. So I woke up with him, and Paddy stayed with his twin in another room. We just had like the best morning. I'd booked this girl who was local. I just found her on Instagram. She lived locally to Kin House, and she was a Pilates instructor, and she came and did a Pilates class in the morning. So I was like, I want to do a workout, but I don't want to be like jumping up and down and getting sweaty. And it was amazing. She's called Movement by Millie, I think is her Instagram. And she's so nice. And she came down and just did this like really sweet class. And that was lovely for like all my bridal party, basically. And then we all had breakfast. It was very relaxed. Like I didn't love the idea of them having to be in hair and makeup super early. So that was one thing that I put my foot down on. I was like, can we just try and move it a tiny bit later? Cause I've heard these horror stories of like bridal parties being in the makeup chair at like 7 a.m. And I was like, absolutely absolutely not. Oh, that's horrible. So I tried to just push it a little bit later. And obviously, like, I was very respectful of my makeup artist that was doing the bridesmaid's makeup. But basically what we decided to do was that she bought her assistant. So there were two of them, which wasn't a huge extra expense and meant that they could start later, which was nice. So that was the only change. But it just meant that I just didn't want my bridal party, like my bridesmaids, to be having to get up at the crack of dawn on my wedding day and be like sat in hair and makeup. So then we started around 9 and just like had this really nice flow. I think one of my best decisions actually, and this is a like random, but I thought quite a good tip, was I did my hair and makeup in a separate room to my bridesmaids. There was at Kin House, there is a, like a bridal room where you can get ready. But I said all my bridesmaids can get ready in there. And I got ready in my room with Beau and my mum and dad. And my mum and dad just sat there with a glass of champagne and I was getting my makeup done. And my bridesmaids came in and out, you know, they were sort of floating between there and coming in. But it was nice because I'm quite like a introvert, extrovert anyway. Like I'm great, you know, when I'm on, but also I'm like, you know, the morning I felt quite nervous and it was just nice to have like a really calm energy in my room. My mum and dad just like chatting away and it was really special for them. I mean, my dad was sat there in his dressing gown until about an hour before. So I was like, this is very
champagne
relaxed,
in
guys.
Hand.
Yeah, but it was really lovely. And it meant that then I got to do that like big reveal with my bridesmaids and have that moment and then have like a glass of champagne with them and get and feel like there was that excitement building. But I'd had my kind of moment to just be with Beau and to let her do her thing and to feel very calm. So that was really nice. Then, yeah, champagne. We had a couple of glasses before I walked down the aisle. I definitely needed some courage because I suddenly got really nervous about this idea of like just walking down the aisle and being like, oh my God. And then it was it.
Wow. And so you had your ceremony and then moved through to the reception. Was that in a very different area or was it all quite close together?
Yeah, so we were originally supposed to get married outside. So we made the decision to get married indoors, probably at about 7:30 a.m. on the day of, because so this is where like someone somewhere was looking out for me. I don't know who, but I want to send them the thanks because I sat with my wedding planner, Alice, on the morning of our wedding and we looked at like 3 different weather apps on 3 different phones. Any bride will know that like you're literally obsessed with the weather the day before and like the days around your wedding. In my head, I had always wanted to get married on the lawn and it'd be outside and it'd be this kind of like beautiful, like country wedding. But all of these wedding apps were basically saying that there was going to be horrific rain pretty much all day. Like we tracked the clouds. We were like, to the biggest detail, we were like, you know, this is not going to happen. So I had to make the call to do it inside, which wasn't my first choice. It was a lovely room, but you know, when you have a vision of like having it outside, it was just a bit different. So the team were all setting up in this like indoor, it's called the garden room at Kin, moved it indoors. And what are the chances? It did not rain at all day and the sun shone all day. So I'm sat in my wedding ceremony looking outside at this like beautiful sunshine. And I was like, ah, but what I have to say is that actually looking back on it, I'm so happy we did do it inside. And I think that's where it's always good to just even a decision that feels really tough, like you do make the best of it. And I now love that indoor ceremony. Like if it was outside, I would have had the sun in my eyes. The photos would have looked really different. I would have been squinting. People would have probably been quite hot. And we also had a gospel choir and the acoustics in that room were amazing. So like it all came together and the place where we then sort of went, because that spot is quite set back from where the main house is. So then we kind of had this procession of people walking up to the main house, had our welcome drinks on the lawn, which was exactly what I wanted. The gospel choir weren't supposed to stay for longer than the ceremony, but loved the vibe so much that they ended up transporting their speaker. And basically, I'm sure some people will have seen the videos, but they ended up singing like a whole nother set for us on the lawn at in front of Kin House, which was like probably one of my favorite moments of the day. And just like everyone says, you know, you get that feeling where you look at everyone at your wedding and you're like, oh, you know, like, this is so amazing. And I think I had that when we came out onto the lawn and the sun was shining, and given that it was supposed to rain all day, I just was like, I don't know what I've done in this life, but today is the best day of my life and I can't like feel any better. So that was a really special moment. And then we transitioned inside for the dinner.
And what was your first dance?
Again, like, I feel really annoying being like, another funny story, but they played the wrong song for our first dance. So our first dance was supposed to be Simply the Best by Tina Turner. I am like the biggest Tina Turner fan. I love her and I know everything about her, and I'd always wanted that to be my first dance song. However, when we were planning our wedding and we were having meetings with this, with the Aston band who did our wedding, and by the way, I just want to caveat this by saying that wasn't their fault at all, and I'll explain why. Paddy had said, oh, I don't know if I feel great about there being like this massive intro on Simply the Best. Like, it was kind of like, it's quite a long build.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't know if I feel that comfortable, like dancing in the middle, like with that really long build. So he had said, we also loved You're Just Too Good to Be True, I think it's called, or I Love You Baby or something like that by Frankie Valli. And oh God, I can't
Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. Is that?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you're completely right. And so we'd floated the idea of that song, and basically on our call with Aston, I think we'd sort of said, oh yeah, that's a great song. Oh yeah, maybe we do that. Completely our bad. We didn't then say, oh, actually, do you know what? We've decided we really like Simply the Best. So in my head and Paddy's head, when we walked out onto the dance floor on our like first dance moment, both of us were expecting to hear Simply the Best by Tina Turner. Obviously that didn't play. But, and there's a really good video of it, because I'm like, they're not playing Simply, no, they're playing the wrong song, but I love it. And like, they played the, like, which is, by the way, it was like our second choice. I was actually so happy with it and I loved it. And it was funny. It was, I like when things go wrong, it was funny. And I couldn't have picked like a better song for that moment anyway. Like Simply the Best maybe wouldn't have been right, because it was like everyone got involved, like everyone was so up for it.
But you did get your Simply the Best moment, I'm guessing.
We did it as the final song of the night, which was great, you know?
It was my grandmother's favourite song, and at every party we had anywhere, she'd always request it to the point that then we would ask them to play it for her. And so my grandma passed away, but at my wedding, before we played that song, the DJ was told to say, okay, everybody from the Day family, asses on the floor, it's time for grandma's song. So everyone came round and danced to it. It was one of the most special moments.
That's so nice. I mean, it's such a good song. I think so many people have that as like a very special song to them. I loved that we had it at the end, so we still had a special moment with it.
We're only months away from it now, but with a bit of distance, and you've touched on so many already, but is there another fond memory that just warms your heart or lights you up when you're, I don't know, mid-commute or something?
I mean, there are so many. I couldn't have faulted anything. Like, genuinely, I had one, like, I feel really smug saying it, but I just had one of those weddings where, like, I wouldn't change a single thing. I would not have changed anything, you know? I think one of the things that I feel really lucky about, and actually you just referencing your grandma, and I'm so sorry for her passing, but I was lucky enough to have two of my grandparents there. My dad's parents have very sadly passed away, but I had my mum's mum and dad, who I'm really, really, you know, asked that side of the family, were very close. I was lucky enough to have them there. And my 91-year-old grandfather was like one of the last people on the dance floor. I mean, he is amazing. And I had this dance with him. I mean, it kind of went viral on TikTok because he just is so like great. And having that dance with him in that moment, I just think I'm so lucky that not only, you know, like we spoke at the start about not having stuff on film, but there's some stuff that like you'll watch and watch again and again for the rest of your life and treasure as a video memory. And that is one of them. I think my grandfather's one of the most inspiring, amazing people that I've ever met. And to have that as a memory, you know, not only in my head, but also as a video, feels really special. So yeah, I would say that's something that I think of often.
Well, that's such a beautiful way to bring our conversation to a close. Thank you so much, Alice. It's been an absolute joy going over all the details of your wedding. It's such heartwarming stuff, and you can tell that it just makes you glow every time you speak about it. You've had the biggest smile on your face this whole time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been so nice to chat through it with you, and I hope I haven't bored everyone. I probably do go on a bit, but it's wedding chat. I love it.
The absolute opposite. Thank you so much, Alice.
Thank you so much, Annie.
Thanks so much for listening to Words in a Wedding. If you liked the episode, please subscribe if you haven't already, and follow at Words in a Wedding on Instagram, where you'll find guest wedding photos and much, much more. Have a great week.